Prior to Jesus' ministry, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. After he fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left his temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those he spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Cry out to him today.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
I want to wish all the mothers today a happy Mother's Day. It actually is ironic that this past week we have actually seen women in various cities throughout the country and in Washington, D.C., actually protesting for the quote-unquote right to pay an abortionist to rip their babies limb from limb and crush their baby's skulls. That is just horrific. And then just yesterday in my city, there was a gay pride parade, gay pride festival, and obviously homosexuals by themselves can't have children. God has designed it such that you actually need a male and a female. But we're going to talk today about returning to God's plan for motherhood, because God designed this institution of the family. And in fact, we have talked about this. He designed from the beginning for children to be raised in families. God could have created children to come through anyway. And, you know, He could have had storks that delivered babies. That could actually be how children come into the world. They could come down in spaceships. They could pop out of rocks. They could come out of flowers. But God designed for children to actually come out of mothers, and for there to be a father and a mother. And we know that this is the best way to raise a child, is with a father and a mother. So we're going to look at biblical principles and actually call for people in this nation and in this church and in the Church of Jesus Christ throughout this nation, throughout our area, throughout our state, throughout our nation, to return to God's plan for motherhood. One of the things that is important that we look at is that we look at the principle of waiting until marriage to be a mother. And we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints." There are people today that believe that it is just common knowledge and a common occurrence that young people, before they're married, will engage in sexual activity. But we know from the Bible that this is actually a sin, and we know that it is a sin, and the biggest reason that it is a sin is because God has designed for sex to be between a husband and his wife, and one of the biggest reasons for the emphasis that God puts on marriage and marriage between one man and one woman is that God honors and God desires for children to be holy, for children to be trained in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God wants for children to serve him. And that happens best when you actually, and you can read about that in Malachi, that God was against the people of Israel because they were forsaking the wife of their youth, the wife of their covenant. Why? Because God desires godly offspring. He wants your children to obey him. And that happens best when you have a father and a mother in the home. So it's important for both men and women, for young men, and young women to wait, to be patient, to discipline themselves. And certainly this is not something that is easy. Having been a young person at one point, it's not something that is easy, but it is something that is achievable, not in our own power, but in the power of God. And also, not only as we have talked about meditating on God's word and seeing what God would have us to do, and seeing really from Scripture that we need to, seeing what God's standard is and meditating on that standard so that we can come into agreement, so that our mind, our soul, our feelings come into agreement with what God has to say, but also putting up safeguards to protect yourself, not placing yourself in situations where you will be tempted or tempted to fall into sin or fall into fornication, because this is what God, you know, because you can have the right beliefs, but you have to realize that God created you with hormones, and he created us in such a way that when we engage in physical intimacy, it leads to more physical intimacy. And it's important that you don't stroke those flames, that you wait until you're married to actually engage in that type of physical intimacy, because even the slightest physical intimacy will very often lead to more physical intimacy. And before you know it, you're engaging in an activity that can very well bring a child into this world. And when you do that prior to marriage and you're not committed, the two aren't committed to be with each other, to marry one another, and to care for one another and to provide and to form a family, then what you actually have is you have unwed mothers. And of course, this is one of the large reasons why we see abortion today, is that people, and this is really one of the reasons why abortion came right after the sexual revolution, because children were being conceived. There was this idea in the sexual revolution that you can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, with whomever you want to do it. But then what we realized is that, it didn't take too long for people to realize, well, children are actually being conceived here. And what are we going to do with those children? Well, we want to kill them or pay an abortionist to kill them. And this is not something that really that we should be looking at and we should be promoting. We should be promoting women honoring their children, loving their children, not paying someone to rip their babies limb from limb. And going on, we see in Romans chapter 1 that there is an importance for embracing God's standard for mothers and for motherhood. In Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. So we see here that we see this issue where you have women exchanging the natural use of the woman. And certainly that can be homosexuality, which the Bible says is a sin. But also it could be a woman who doesn't want to have children, a woman who views barrenness as a blessing rather than a curse. And we need to realize that God, in God's kingdom and with God's standards, children are a blessing, not a curse. And you know, I don't know of any other blessing that we say, well, you know, I don't want too much of that. You know, if we're talking about financial blessing, you know, there's really not going to be anyone, I don't think, that's going to say, well, you know, I don't need any more money. I don't want any more financial blessings. Or, you know, if we're talking about other types of blessings, you know, whether it's a house or a, you know, a nice furniture or something like that, most people want more. Most people want more blessings. But when we talk about children, what we see is that people are exchanging God's plan and God's pattern for what they want. And what they want is real. What they honor really is barrenness, or if any children, less children, not more children. But God's view is that children are a blessing. And we can read about this in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. So God views, and God here shows that children are like arrows. Now, you know, if you were going to war in the days of bow and arrow, you wouldn't want to go with just a few arrows. You wouldn't want to go with one arrow or two arrows. You'd want to go with a quiver full of arrows. You wouldn't want to run out of ammunition while you're trying to defeat the enemy. Once you run out of, you've shot all of your arrows and the other, your enemy still has arrows, well, you're in trouble at that point. But we don't view this children this way. We don't view children as a blessing, and we don't view children as arrows, and they are. Children should be, we should be training our children to actually inflict damage on the enemy. And when I'm talking about the enemy, I'm not talking about your earthly enemy, someone that you don't like or someone that has been mean to you. What I'm actually talking about is the devil and his kingdom. We should be raising up children who will promote the kingdom of God and further him, his kingdom and his precepts and his principles. We should also raise up our children to inflict damage on the enemy, the devil, and his kingdom. And actually, one of the hymns from long ago talks about pushing back the gates of hell until Satan hath not one inch of territory. We should want as many children as possible and train them to do damage to the enemy's camp. Rachel was a woman who actually wanted children so much that she said, "Give me children or else I die." She said that to her husband Jacob in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, because God had withheld children from her. Now, if that were to happen to many women today, many women today would actually view that as a blessing, and they would want to continue to engage in physical intimacy with their husband and not have children. But Rachel saw that children were a blessing and wanted to have as many children as she could. And she really only had two children, but that wasn't because she wanted to only have two. That was because that was all that God blessed her with. And that's, you know, we should be willing to accept what God's will is for us rather than trying to place our own desires. And we should actually view children as a blessing. Another thing that we need to look at is that training the next generation is actually the most important job a woman can have. In Proverbs chapter 20 or chapter 6, verses 20 through 24, we read, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you away from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress." So here we see what we see here is we see the law or the command of the father and the law of the mother. So we're familiar, and we hear about this quite often, about fathers training their children, but also mothers play an important role in training their children in obedience to God's commandments. And here you see those commandments, those precepts, those the law actually that is being taught by the father and the mother actually working to lead the children, to keep the children safe, to speak truth to them, to be a light to their path. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you from the immoral woman. So even to train a young boy to stay away from immoral women and to wait until marriage, also the flattering tongue of a seductress. You know, there are people out there, children are ignorant. Kids don't realize that there are evil people out there. They need to be trained. And the father and the mother play a role in that. We see also in Proverbs 31, verse 16, that the virtuous woman considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. So there is a role for women to actually make money. But you see, if you look at Proverbs 31, you'll see that the primary focus of the virtuous woman was to take care of her household and to take care of her children. And she also was involved in various business and real estate deals, but she was doing this in a way that she could still care for her family and care for her children. We also, one of the biggest things that is needed today, I believe, is for older women that know some things, that know how to do various things, to be able to train younger women. And we read about this in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, speak that the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So this is something that is really needed for the older women to be willing to spend some time and to come alongside younger women, to admonish them, to teach them how to love their husbands, how to love their children, how to be discreet, how to be chaste, how to be a homemaker, how to be obedient to their husbands. And you know, these are things women don't just come into this world. You know, baby girls don't just come up and grow up and just learn and know all, you know, how to care, how to love a husband, how to love their children, how to care for a child. You know, babies don't come out with instruction manuals. We have to learn from others, and it's very necessary, very important to have older women training younger women and being willing to do that. Women should also be provided for. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 30, Jacob said this to Laban. Jacob had been working up until this point to pay off, you know, he basically worked for 7 years for what he thought was going to be Rachel, but it ended up being Jacob tricked, or Laban tricked Jacob and gave him Leah, and then he worked for another 7 years for Rachel, and then he worked for longer for him. But Jacob is saying, "Hey, I need to have something for myself, and I'm about to leave." But Jacob or Laban said, "Hey, God's blessed me because you're here, but what'll happen is you can continue to work for me, and you can take the speckled and the spotted among the flock, and those can be yours." And so he actually started to build wealth for himself so that he could be able to raise and provide for his spouses and his children. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So it is important for us to be diligent. It's important for us to be productive. It's important for us to actually provide for our spouses, to provide for men, to provide husbands, to provide for their wives, and to provide for their children. This is best done and most easily done when we love our spouses, when we love our wives, when we honor them, when we are faithful to them, when we're not going out and committing adultery or having affairs with someone else or forsaking the covenant of our youth, where we remember the wife of our youth, where we love them and care for them, and we're willing to endure even difficulties in marriage, so that our children, so that we can provide for our wife, so we can provide for our children, so that we can take care of them. It's much easier to do this than to go out and say, "Well, we're going to get a divorce. This just isn't working out. This marriage is irreconcilably broken, and we're just going to go out and we're going to go our separate ways." And then what happens is, quite often you have separate families, but you have these children that are shared, and the husband needs to then provide for two households, and it's very difficult to provide for two households. So better than that, just do what God tells you to do. Love your spouse. Love the wife of your youth. Honor her. Care for her. Remember the covenant that you made with her. Remember that God desires you to be faithful to her, because God desires godly offspring. That happens best when you, the father, when the father and the mother are in the home training their children, speaking those commandments to them, speaking the law to them, speaking the truth to them that will guide them and lead them. And one thing that is important, you know, we know that in this world, people die. And sometimes fathers die early. You see women that are widows. Going on in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the apostle Paul starts talking about which widows should be cared for, and which would by the church, and which widows should not be cared for. And he actually says that the younger widows should remarry and care for their new husband. Of course, remarrying a good godly husband, someone that will love them and cherish them and care for them and provide for them, not a drunkard or drug addict or someone that's going to be an abuser, but someone that's a godly person. He also says that in verse 16 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So what we see here is that it's important for men and women, if your mother is still alive and she no longer has a husband, God requires you to care for her, to provide for her, maybe even let her move in with you and live in your household. Or some people have a mother-in-law apartment in the back, that you care for her, that you are providing, that you are actually being diligent to provide not only for your wife and for your children, but also working to help provide for those your parents who can't care for themselves anymore. And specifically here, we're talking about a mother who has been widowed. Now, women and mothers should also be cherished by their children and by their husband. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 through 29, we read, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." And it is important for mothers to be praised and to be honored, not only in this time, on this day of Mother's Day, but also throughout the year. We should be honoring mothers. We should be honoring, husbands should be honoring our wives. We should be praising them and giving them the honor and the praise that is due them. If you were to take all of the things that a mother does for her children, for her husband, for her household, and you were to hire people to do all of those things, it would cost a fortune, probably more than you actually would be able to afford. But it is important that we praise and honor our mothers and also our wives. And we've talked about a lot of things today. We've talked about, we started off talking about women that are fighting for the right to pay an abortionist to rip their baby limb from limb. We talked about fornication. We talked about not viewing children as a blessing. We talked about not providing for your spouse and not being faithful. And when we talk about all these things, we're talking about sin. And when we talk about sin, people that are here, people that are listening, are going to be guilty of these sins. And we need to confess our sin before God and repent of our sins and cry out to God and confess that we have sinned, that we have fallen short of His precepts and His commandments and His standards. But cry out to God and allow God to heal us and to forgive us. Even if you have paid an abortionist to rip your baby limb from limb, God will still forgive you. He can still forgive you. Confess your sins before Him and cry out to Him and plead for Him so that place your trust in Jesus Christ so that His blood can wash away your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Prior to Jesus' ministry, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. After He fasted and prayed 40 days and nights, Jesus left His temptation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to those He spoke to, their children, and all who were far off. This means that you too can cry out to God to be saved and ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Cry out to Him today.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, and very deeply stained within, sinking to arise no more. But the Master Jesus heard my despairing cry. From the waters my God lifted me, now saved am I. Said it was love.